welcome to this family service. My name is Natasha, the vicar of Stoke Poges Church. I'd like to begin with a few words from Psalm 100. It says, "Worship God with gladness, come into his presence and sing his praises." Therefore, can I encourage you to join in with this service using the words in bold from our service sheet. This week saw more people venturing outdoors. You may have noticed roads are getting busier and shops are getting fuller. So therefore, the Stoke Poges store cupboard is preparing to close its doors. We are serving people in this particular way until the end of the month. So that's until the 30th of June. So give if you are able to, because we still have isolating people, families and vulnerable folk still in need of a bit of support right now. After that, the Good Neighbour Scheme will continue to shop and assist people as they've always done. And our church will always be a place where help can be sought. But the store cupboard will be stood down and it will be ready to open if needed in the future. Just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to all who have run, contributed and financially supported this great piece of community generosity. There's lots of other things that I could mention in our welcome and notices, but they are all on the StokePogesChurch.org news page. Or if you'd like to have a regular update, sign up for the Friday news. And all of our news is on there. Let us come now together in worship by saying this opening prayer. We come before you, gracious God, just as we are. We come with our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities. We come with our fears and apprehensions. We come with faith and doubt. We come to offer and receive. We come to you, the King of Love, in the name of your Son and in the power of your Spirit. Amen. This week's songs have been curated by Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay, for your prayer-inspired choices. Let us turn our voices now to a time of praise to the Lord our God, with "Great is thy faithfulness," followed by "Build your kingdom here."
Thank you. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
I'd like to now draw your attention back to our service sheet and to the picture pointer. It's a picture of the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. Perhaps you've had the privilege of seeing it in the flesh, covering the end wall of the dining room at the Santa Maria del Grazia in Milan. But nevertheless, I want you to now imagine, just for a moment, that you are in this painting at that time, with these folk as they eat and chat and listen. Jesus and the disciples are sat there eating their meal. Look at the different poses of each person shown. I wonder, where would you be sitting? Near Jesus or at the end? I wonder what expression would be on your face. What might you be saying to the person next to you? Now, these questions are all well and good, but I want you now to think about this. As you're sat there with Jesus, he's called you to go and continue his work when he's no longer physically there. And that moment seems to be coming quite soon. How do you feel about that call and commission? Ponder that as we continue to worship God today. And if you need to, email or call me to explore it some more. Now, let us come back together, and as the family of God in this place, let's say sorry to God using these words of confession. Lord, you have called us to the privilege of service, but we have failed to serve. You have given us the blessing of peace, but we have chosen discord. You have loved as a shepherd tends his sheep, but we have strayed from your way. Forgive us and show us the path of obedience and faithfulness that your Son trod. In his name we pray. Amen. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen. Over to you now for today's Bible reading.
The reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35 and going through to chapter 10, ending at verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. And as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And will you join me in a prayer, please? Heavenly Father, please guide my words that I might speak your truth, and guide and direct all our hearts that we might hear and understand your truth. And we ask this for your glory. And in Jesus' name. Amen. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Words that certainly resonate with me from my days as a builder. Because when the construction industry was busy, there was always a shortage of capable tradesmen. And of course, thanks to Murphy's Law, when it was slack, there were plenty of good men out of work. feast or famine, boom and bust. They seem to have always been the order of the day for we builders. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not looking for sympathy, although a kindly word for a poor, clapped-out old builder would be much appreciated. Now, it seems to me that during these unusual times, there are signs that the plentiful harvest Jesus referred to in the reading is again there to be gathered in. And why do I say that? Well, when we see headlines like "Surging number of Britons turn to Christianity amid the pandemic," accompanied with the explanation that the live streaming of services, be they from the great cathedrals or parish churches, and not just on high days and holidays, but week in and week out, and I quote, "More people tuning into online services than attend church." And that's why I suggest we could experience a building boom. No, nothing to do with bricks and mortar, but a building up of God's church, and not just here, but everywhere. However, before we all get too excited, let's take a hard look at ourselves and address some important questions. Questions like, if there is such an underlying interest in Christianity, then, well, why don't these folks feel drawn to be part of their local church family? What's preventing them from even stepping inside a church building? What's putting them off? Because certainly something is. And whose fault's that? Or perhaps there's a clue in one of John Betjeman's poems, which begins, "When things go wrong, it's rather tame to find we are ourselves to blame. It gets the trouble over quicker to go and blame things on the vicar." But truth be told, and horror and horrors, could it be that in fact we are ourselves to blame? We are responsible for keeping folks out. Are we driving them away? Sadly, I feel the answer could well be yes. The finger of suspicion really does point at us, thee and me. And why do I hold this opinion? Well, I read that in a survey of non-church males, and these days that means most men, that the majority of them felt less uncomfortable in the ladies' lingerie section of a department store than they did in church. It's not they felt at ease amongst the frilly underwear, of course not. Well, I hope most blokes anyway. But tragically, they felt even more out of place in church. Church, the house of God and his Son Jesus Christ. Jesus, the ultimate man's man, the bravest man who ever lived. Yet somehow, and for some reason, all these men have been put off coming to learn about and enjoy a personal relationship with the one person who holds the key to peace and eternal life. As sad as that undoubtedly is, I would doubt that these thousands of extra people logging into our services are just disaffected males. Of course not. Rather, I suspect that lots and lots of ladies also feel uncomfortable and are, for whatever reason, equally put off attending church. What a tragedy. What a problem. and we definitely won't get this trouble over quicker by trying to blame Natasha, or for that matter, any other vicar. No, we need to face up to where we're going wrong and what needs to be done about it. Now, some of you might be thinking, hang on a minute. We've worked quite hard on our welcome at both St Giles and St Andrews. Which is true, and like me, I'm sure many of us have experienced a similarly warm welcome when attending other churches. Unfortunately, some of us have also had some real horror stories to relate. On one occasion, I drove into a nearly empty church car park shortly before the service was due to start, when I was loudly and rudely told, "You can't park here," by a lady as she marched into church. So I drove out and parked in the street and then went to church. Believe me, the look on her face when she saw me enter was priceless. She just assumed I wasn't coming into church. But just suppose, instead of thick-skinned Nigel, it had been someone who was having a really hard time of it, for whatever reason, things were not going well for them. And they'd screwed up the courage to come to church, hoping to find some comfort in their troubles. You could bet your bottom dollar that they wouldn't be back in a hurry. They would have been driven from God's house, maybe forever. But you know, what was really the worst thing about the whole incident was she didn't even come over and apologise. No, not for my sake. After all, she hadn't driven me away. But for her sake. Because having the humility to say sorry, and incidentally the good grace to accept an apology, should be part of the character of a follower of Jesus. And yes, as I already said, we do, like many church communities, work hard trying to avoid these things like that happening. Unfortunately, there's absolutely no point in looking good on Sundays. Because once people know you are a churchgoer, then like it or not, we are all regarded as ambassadors for Jesus. And we're in the spotlight. So if for the rest of the week our behaviour is different and puts a person off Jesus and his message, then it's just not good enough and could have terrible consequences. And why? Or perhaps we all need to heed those words from Luke 17, verses 1 to 3. And remember, this is Jesus speaking, so it's straight from the horse's mouth. And I urge us all to take this to heart. Because Jesus said, "Situations that call people to lose their faith are certain to arise. But how horrible it will be for the person who causes someone to lose his faith. It would be best for that person to be thrown into the sea with a large stone hung around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to lose their faith. Better thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to lose their faith." And I think you'll find that when Jesus speaks of little ones, he doesn't just mean little children. He means all of us, everyone. Because none of us enjoys a perfect faith. We are all, to a greater or lesser extent, immature Christians, little ones. And then Jesus says in verse 3, "So watch yourselves. Be careful. Watch yourselves." Now, if you recall, At the beginning of this talk, I spoke about the many non-church goers who are tuning into online services. Well, if you're one of those people, then this is especially for you. Can I say that you are very welcome? And if and when we get back to having service inside the church buildings, you will also be very welcome. But, in all honesty, I think that, just like on a packet of fags there's a health warning, there needs to be a warning for someone who is new to church. So let me explain. See, contrary to the widely held view that Christians think themselves much better than the rest, the truth is that, if we're honest, then we know our behaviour leaves much to be desired. And generally speaking, we're no better or worse than everyone else. And if I may, I would like to illustrate this with a story. A vicar was having a drink in the club room after a round of golf with his friends. And as the conversation progressed, there came a moment when it seemed appropriate to invite one of his friends to come to church. The man immediately responded with, "Oh no, I'm sorry, but don't take this personally because I think you're quite a nice sort of chap. But, as far as I can see, churches are full of hypocrites." Now the vicar didn't get upset at this remark. Instead, he agreed with this assessment, and he said, "Well, I can't really argue, because you're absolutely right," adding, "But come anyway, there's always room for one more." Hopefully, if you do decide to give church a try, you will have a good experience. But please don't expect perfection, because sorry, we can't offer that. No more than we can guarantee you won't come across the odd awkward so-and-so. But just remember, Jesus is the reason we're here, and nothing else should be allowed to get in the way of that. Amen.
Thank you, Nigel, for what you have said. May it be a lamp that lights our feet as we walk in faith along the path God is calling us to journey along. Now to another song, Hope and Glory. Let's sing.
Hear our cry, O King of Heaven, Jesus, hope to every heart. We are lost without your glory. We are lost without you, God. Be the fire that burns within us, flames of love that purify. Send your power and your salvation. Let us see your kingdom come. 'Cause only you can move the mountains. Only you can heal our land. Christ alone, our hope and glory. Christ alone, in you we stand. Turn your eyes and show mercy, how we need your Father's love. Lead us home and out of darkness with your gospel burning bright. 'Cause only you can move the mountains. Only you can heal our land. Christ alone, our hope and glory. Christ alone, in you we stand. 'Cause only you can move the mountains. Only you can rule our land. Christ alone, our hope and glory. Christ alone.
And so to some words from a letter to the Ephesians, words that remind us of who and what it is we believe in, the Creed. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, Rachel McCarthy will lead us in our intercessions. Thank you so much, Rachel.
Heavenly Father, you have said, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Jeremiah 33:3. By this promise we call to you and ask that you show us great and unsearchable truths about prayer that you have set forth in your word. Give us open minds and pure hearts to receive your word and to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us your purposes and truth. We call upon you this day to join us and hear our prayers. Our response today will be, Lord of love and peace, hear our prayer. We pray for the church. Thank you for your Son. Without your infinite love, we would not be able to stand with hope and share the good news for all that we experience today and all that lies before us. Help us to be equipped in answering questions of relevance by what we do and what we are known for. We pray as churches around the world start opening their doors for private prayer. And even though the church has not stopped meeting, we know that this is a positive step for communities far and wide. We pray for Natasha and her family, the church wardens, the PCC and all those involved in bringing the gospel to life through St Andrew's and St Giles. Keep them healthy and focused on all that you have called them to do in your name. Lord of love and peace, hear our prayer. We pray for the world in such turbulent times. It is sad to witness so much unrest and suffering. We pray for peace and justice. In these times, change is needed in so many ways. However, there are ways which are morally incorrect and do not bring good to the cause. We pray that there will be an overwhelming sense of your presence among the nations and that peace is restored. We lift all those in power and authority to discern what is right and bring back confidence to those that have lost it. We ask that your will be done. Lord of love and peace, hear our prayer. We pray for our community. Thank you for sustaining us through this pandemic. Thank you for all that you have provided us with. You have enabled us to seek ways of supporting one another differently. We have learnt new ways of communication, new ways of bringing sunshine to people's homes, new ways of praying for our surrounding areas. And you have given us time to explore your wonderful world full of nature, colour, trees and birdsong. Help us to see what we are yet to see, and help us to see the world through your eyes. Lord of love and peace, hear our prayer. We pray for those in special need, those who are sick, isolated, lonely, depressed, those that are marginalised and vulnerable. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul shares that we are not to lose heart, verse 16. Days are hard, families are struggling, marriages are under pressure, children are confused. We pray that you give us your strength to face each day led by you, that we as individuals commit the day to you, trusting that you are standing with us. Let us pause for a moment and bring to mind those that we can petition on behalf of that needs our prayers. Gracious Father, comfort and heal all those that suffer in body, mind and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord of love and peace, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, we remember those who are no longer with us. We lift them up, the close relation, the friend, the soulmate, who shared precious memories with. We still miss them so dearly. Be close to the brokenhearted. We thank you for those that have gone before us, passed in quiet holiness, and whose prayers and lives have touched many. May your light shine upon them forever, and our lives be richer because of them. Lord of love and peace, hear our prayer. God of life, grant that we will always live in the light of your identity. Accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thank you for being faithful. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen.
And our special prayer for this week, our collect. God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in your ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Our final song today is King of Kings, and after we will say together our final prayer.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Kingdom coming, and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. You rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good. Oh, the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For his blood of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Of Kings.
And so let us pray. Go to serve, go to love. Go to bring healing, go to bring peace. Go in the strength of the Father, go in the power of Jesus. Go united by the Spirit. Go and know his grace. Amen. Thanks to all who have prepared, spoken and spliced together all that we've done today in this wonderful act of worship to the Lord our God. Thank you for your hard work and commitment. It is greatly appreciated by us all. And as our social circles begin to widen now and new bubbles are formed between households and school classes, and as we prepare our buildings for individual prayer, stay safe and God bless.